We believe in our part of the world that the first generation builds the family business, second generation consolidates it, third one destroys it.
Welcome to Crazy Smart Asia, the unexpected stories of Asia's disruptors. I'm your host, Chong Xiaowei. Every week, we talk with a leader or two about the crazy smart approaches they're taking to achieve success and the truths they uncover along the way. This week's guests are billionaire father-son duo, Binod and Nirvana Chaudhary. In conversation with Tatler Asia's Tamara Lamounière, they share the inside scoop on what it's like operating within a family business structure. From navigating differences in management styles and dealing with the pressure of continuing the family legacy, to trusting your intuition, here's our conversation with Binod and Nirvana, recorded live at the inaugural Tatler Genti Summit, an innovations and ideas festival for young leaders across Asia.
Family businesses, it is something I'm very familiar with, being in one myself. But even if you're not, they actually have a really significant impact on local economies, the employment market, and the communities that they're part of. According to PwC, family businesses represent 70% of the global economy. In Asia, in particular, family businesses have actually shaped contemporary capitalism in the region. Russell Reynolds actually reports that 85% of companies in APAC are owned by a family group, and of the top 750 global family businesses ranked by revenue, over 20% are Asia-based. Right now, family businesses in Asia, which are generally younger than their Western counterparts, are going through a generational shift. 30% of them are expected to go through this change in the next few years. But what unique attributes give family businesses an edge? Why do family businesses, for example, according to a recent survey by Carmignac, tend to outperform their counterparts in terms of returns on capital? And what can everybody in the room, whether or not they're part of a family business, learn from them? So joining me on stage today are two very distinguished gentlemen and two family friends of mine, Mr. Binod Chaudhary, chairman of the CG Global Corp, a multinational headquartered in Nepal. They have a portfolio of over 160 companies and 123 brands, and they employ over 15,000 people. Today, they have an interest in quite a number of things. Get this: FMCG, electronics, education, cement, energy, hospitality, realty, financial services, telecom, biotech, engineering, and construction. Am I that right? Aside from being a highly successful entrepreneur and business leader, Binod is also a philanthropist, a politician, and the author of the book Making It Big, the inspiring story of Nepal's first billionaire in his own words, which is a must-read for any entrepreneur wanting to get ahead. Also joining me is his eldest son, Nirvana, who is managing director of CG Global Corp. Nirvana is also vice chair of the Chaudhary Foundation. He became managing director at 30 years old and is a former national squash player, aside from being an artist and a musician. And he has a great podcast called, get this, Making It Bigger. Thank you both for being here with me today. So why don't we start by talking about where are you both spending your time these days and where do you overlap? Shall we start with you, Binod?
Thank you, Tamara. First of all, allow me to present my compliments to you and Michelle and the entire Genti team for a brilliant show that you put up. I think it's very timely.
Thank you.
A big hand.
Although we're not here for me, we're here for you.
Many, many, many more to follow. Going back to our subject, you know, what we believe, and this is going to be something very interesting for many of you who are directly, indirectly connected with anything to do with the family business or legacies. You know, we believe in our part of the world that the first generation builds the family business, second generation consolidates it, third one destroys it.
Okay.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is a typical phenomena. Mm. And I think you've already given some statistics on how, what is the total overall impact of the family-run businesses, family-owned businesses, which also perhaps need to be segmented into different structures. Mm-hmm. There may be family-owned businesses which are run professionally. Okay, there may be family businesses which are run by the family members. Okay, so we'll come to that as we go forward. It's not an easy issue to address, because probably it will require, what is your ultimate end goal as, let's say, as the senior team of the ownership? What are you looking at? Just growth? Mm-hmm. Or the growth with perpetuity, mm-hmm, beyond your lifetime, beyond the lifetime of your next generation? Mm-hmm. I think that's a very important subject which takes the center stage. We'll come to that. As far as two of us are concerned, we overlap quite a bit because his headquarters is also Nepal, mm-hmm, unlike my other two sons. And I spend a fair amount of time in Nepal. And we have our own share of interesting conversations from both ends.
Mm-hmm. What areas of the business are you both currently focused on?
I don't run businesses. Mm-hmm. I basically run three of them.
And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That is the secret behind family businesses. Done.
No, that was on a lighter note. When I say run, meaning we have always, you know, one has worked for 45 years, so one is all the time watching what is happening, mm, and trying to sort of shift the goalpost every time. And sitting out there to preempt some of the things which perhaps they don't see that same way. Mm. I think also having shifted my focus from business to a large extent to philanthropy and now into politics, because I believe that that's, if you are sincere to your cause and if enabling environment help you, mm, that's the only way you can make a big difference, mm, to a large chunk of people.
And that's also country. And that's also quite unique to family businesses. A lot of family businesses do have philanthropic work very much baked into their DNA. But we'll get to that in a second. Nirvana, what about you? Where are you spending your time these days?
Thank you, Tamara. So I'm spending my time in Nepal. I got back to Nepal after finishing my education in 2000, when I was just about 18, 19. That was the time when Nepal's going through a civil war, the peak of our, you know, the war economy was at its low point. And, you know, I've just finished my schooling from the West, come back, and I was super excited. And till date, I've been pretty excited about the potential in Nepal. Two very distinct things I'm focusing myself, leading on behalf of the family is, number one, me as an individual, and then the family and the group. I think our purpose changed in 2015 after the Nepal earthquake. Till 2015, we were always driven by how do we become one of the large multinationals around the world. We'd already become the Nepal's first multinational. How do we expand our business, you know, beyond different continents outside of Asia? But after 2015 earthquake, we realized that instead of taking Nepal to the world as a multinational, there was so much. And 2015, you know about the, you know, the 8.7 Richter earthquake that happened that took lives of 10,000 people in Nepal. We realized at that point, and my father and I were in our industrial park, you know, we were having our review meetings, and we had two choices at that time, whether to get all our family members and all the staff towards where we were, or us to go to the place where people were most were having problems. And we decided the latter, you know, and in 3 hours of the earthquake, we opened up 16 of our schools into relief camps. Because we're a food company, we were able to provide whatever quantity, food, beverages, water, anything we had to the people that were affected. Because we had, you know, over 2,000 people of our sales network on the ground, we knew exactly the family and the houses that were damaged or destroyed or affected. So even organizations like UN were using our data points for calculating it. 15 days after the earthquake, we were able to build the first transitional home. Mm. 1 year of the earthquake, We built and gave away almost 5,600 homes, 55 schools, 22 digital classrooms, 20 clean water drinking systems, rebuilt a village that was completely destroyed with 120 permanent homes, community center, and trained 7,000 people. So that 1 year, 2015, I think for the family, changed the purpose of our group's focus and growth. That now we wanted to grow even faster because there was so much more to do in our country, so much more to give back to our country. So I'm very passionate about the work we're doing in our foundation.
And you also have plans for an IPO very soon.
Yes, we are a privately owned company, 100% professionally run. The need for the discussion of IPO is that, we are always investing and operating in countries where, forget about multinationals, but even business houses in those countries don't want to invest much. Mm-hmm. For example, when there was missiles going on in the airport in Sri Lanka, we were signing a deal with the Taj Hotel for buying out a dozen of hotels in Sri Lanka. And the people were like, have you guys lost it? There's a war going on. But, similarly, I can give you five other examples. You know, wherever there's been chaos or war or some conflict, that's where I think the entrepreneurial gut feel comes in, by meeting with the people, interacting with them, and seeing a longer term version of the country. As a company, we're always invested in these very challenging economies. And for some reason, we've always been very shy dealing with financial institutions and raising debt. But now that we want to grow fast, the cost of equity is always higher than the cost of debt. Right. So whenever we go to the banks and we've got investments in Kyrgyzstan or Ukraine or Sri Lanka, etc., they're like, okay, we trust you, but we don't trust those territories.
Right.
So you're like, you got to trust the entrepreneur and right. back him up. Right. So we are yet to come up with a financial institution who sort of gives you that confidence. And we tried talking to few of them. But I think we decided that, we've got companies which have solid cash flow, solid potential growth. Why not unlock the value of the potentials?
Right. That's the reason behind it, because you want to be able to grow even faster. But since you do have a lot of what we can call risky sort of ventures, then it probably makes more sense for you guys to go IPO. And that's going to be the first time that you're going to be doing that in the history of your company. Isn't that right? But you touched on a really interesting point. Let's talk a little bit about the family philosophy and approach to business, because I find it really interesting. I know the Chaudhuries quite well. But Binod, would you like to start by explaining how do you approach business and how do you view growth and ambition?
Okay. Let me supplement to what Nirvana was talking about very briefly on the IPO side.
Mm-hmm.
I think the business has evolved across many geographies, and what was not so attractive yesterday has become attractive.
Mm.
So as an overall portfolio, we feel the time has come for us to take many of our verticals for an IPO.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, we bought a telco in Moldova, which is neighboring Ukraine, for instance.
Mm.
And over the last 3 years' time, it's performed in an extraordinary manner. And now Moldova is in the process of becoming EU, which nobody thought. And
way
because of
then.
The war, that yeah. whole process has been accelerated.
Yeah.
And you're talking about a different scale.
Yeah, but you've developed a reputation for that, for going into the markets that no other sane businessman or investor would touch. I mean, you've said this before. You said you've done, you've made investments and you've made moves that no traditional investor or businessman or any sort of like PwC or consultant would ever have supported. And you do that because you operate very much on gut and intuition.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
I think that's true. That's true even for the better performing economies. At the end of the day, at some level, it is the gut feel, I've always felt.
Mm.
That comes into the play. Now, talking about the family legacies or, working with the new generation, to my mind, the most important capital that you have is your next generation.
Mm.
Otherwise, why are you working for it? Why have I been working for the last 45 years, day and night?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
To build, you know, an empire, so to speak, in our own modest way across all the five continents, because we want to leave a legacy behind, and for that the successors need to be trained. And it's not like sending every child to a school for training. Entrepreneurship, to my mind, is to a large extent that skill comes inborn. You have to be born with it. Everybody need not be entrepreneur. Some may have some sense of entrepreneurial interest, acumen, but then it can be supplemented by putting them together with the other rest of the family members.
Right.
I think it's important to give them freedom where it needs to. What is important when you talk of the putting together the next generations, the platform, the structure for the next generation? Why part families fail in doing that?
You make a really important point, if I may paraphrase, that you don't need to be one. And sometimes it becomes the end goal in itself, but you may not be made for it. You may be made to partner with other entrepreneurs.
Absolutely.
And it's a question of having that humility to understand what you can bring to the table and what you cannot. Nirvana, what have you been learning from your dad?
So before that, I'll just tell a small joke, right?
Sure.
A father comes to his son, you know, and tells him, "Son, you've been working so hard. I'm so proud of you. I'm promoting you to the general now." You know, son's like, "Wow, you know, thank you so much, Dad. It's so kind of you. You know, I feel so proud." What about you, Dad? What will you do? Don't worry. I'm just going to be a major. You know, in the army, the general major. Okay, Dad. What will be my role and what will be your role? Since you are the general, you make all the general decisions. Since I'm the major, I'll make all the major decisions." You know, so that was on a lighter note. I sort of feel entrepreneurs are not born, but they become entrepreneurs when they're in this particular environment that is just infused with just a lot of entrepreneurial talks, and you're constantly discussing issues involving on entrepreneurship and growth and all. And I think in our family, while coming back from boarding school, instead of going out with friends, a lot of times I still remember coming and just sitting in his boardroom and just observing from a very, very young age. I frankly speaking didn't even want to get into business. And he'll tell you the same thing when he didn't want to get into business. You know, we landed up, I started playing squash because he started to. I started making music and writing music because he was a singer too. I was very, very inclined into movies and cinema because he produced a movie as well. So, you know, we've come in from a very creative area, but I think what we've done is over a period channelize that creativity into business.
You mentioned to me that in your family, there is no such thing as failure. If you get into something, even if it's broken, even if it doesn't work, you just fix it. And failure is just not an option. Yeah? That'd be a fair, like...
Yes, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, while making decisions, you can fail. Never in the history of group have we ever sold a business or closed a business.
Mm.
We've come up with a new model where we understand the geographies really well. And we see a sectorial opportunity. So we've gone to a model where we partner with companies that understand sector. That business model is doing very well for us.
Mm-hmm.
But us as a business, I don't think we really do businesses or have come across businesses where we are like, you know what, we have to shut this down.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow do a calculated risk, take a longer term approach, get the right people in, and we are at it till the time it succeeds.
Mm. Well, there you go. That, I think, right there is one of the major advantages of a family business. It's that long-term view coupled with an entrepreneurial vision, which is something that you don't see a lot in a lot of, you know, non-family businesses or publicly listed companies who have a lot more of a short-term perspective on it. Definitely a huge advantage. What are other characteristics that you think give family businesses an edge?
May I?
Yes, please.
I think, first of all, you know, you don't have the option. You know that you don't have the option but to check the company or the family and set up enterprise to the next level and hand it over to the next generation bigger and better. I think that that commitment, that which comes as a part of the responsibility to a large extent, if you are the one who's inheriting it. But same times, I think the stake makes you, the because you have absolutely, you are in your hand lies the future of the thousands of the people, the dreams of the generations who have passed by, who have worked hard, the personality and the let's say the value of the brand that has been created over the years. It's a huge responsibility that you have on your head, and you want to make sure that it works no matter what you need to do. I think it's a question of a completely different level of commitment, because you have there is buck stops with you, and you don't have the choice to quit, because that far too many people's interests are connected with you. Secondly, I think it's all about passion. You know, that's what I've seen. You know that you mentioned I've got three sons, and they all work on different verticals in different geographies, and I've found that that's something, if you constantly, systematically, consistently work with them, you can impart with that. I think you have to make sure that your next generation enjoy the fruits of success. As they say, there is nothing that succeeds like success. You got to create a situation where they are seen as doers, you know, they are seen as people who have achieved it. And that's the single biggest asset you can give to your next generation.
So these are have formed very important components of the way you've been building legacy, the way you've been building your sons, including Nirvana, is giving them that opportunity to be seen for their own successes, to give them opportunities to fail to a certain extent, but to succeed in many, many ways. Yeah. I'd also like to ask Nirvana, how is it working with your dad? And you've gone on the record at other events on this, so I know the answer.
No, I not because he's my father, but he's seriously one in a billion, according to me. And trust me, I've been blessed to have spent time with, you know, all the way from people like Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Jack, some of the most successful entrepreneurs I've spent a lot of time with, and I've taken few traits or leadership style of theirs. But I think with him, it's very, very different. It's all of that put together in one. I always joke around and tell my brothers that, you know, I think he could make, if Maradona trained under him, he could make Maradona like Warren Buffett. You know, he would make sure that he would set the right benchmark or the right guidance or the right environment where he would start channelizing that skill into business. Every time we feel we've reached that goal, again, we've seen that the benchmark goes higher. And I guess deep inside, not that he's told me ever, but I think deep inside he feels a little bit of that, okay, I'm proud of these guys, but he knows that his duty is to keep pushing us, pushing our potential, because unless he sees our potential, you know, how is the organization going to grow? How are we going to grow? And I think, but all of this is revolving around the fundamental values that we've grown up with, you know, things like humility. I think that's the single biggest value our family has, which we've learned from, not only from my parents, but even from my grandparents. Compassion, even before CSR or philanthropy as a organized division or an entity came in, we were already philanthropic as a family from the last 50, 60 years since my grandfather's time. So learning all these values, learning, you know, how to be frugal when you need to be, learning how you need to be.
Yeah, that's true, because a lot of family business tend to report much leaner cost structures than their counterparts, because it's our money that we're investing, right?
But you have to
feel
at a
very
young
differently
age,
about it. Yeah.
Young age, understand the value of money. You know, there were times when, because of the environment we've grown up in, there were times when I had, you know, you're given access to the best credit cards or whatever. But, you know, we used to always think 10 times, do I really need to spend that? Do I really need to do that?
Nirvana, the family is very much about this gut feel of entrepreneurship. And mm-hmm. you embody that as well in your philosophy and your approach to business. How do you hone that sort of gut feel, that intuition? How have you honed it? How has your dad taught you to hone that? How have you learned to hone that on your own?
We'll go inside a room and either he'll convince me or I'll convince him. But when we get out of the room, we'll be talking about the same thing.
How often do you win?
For example, if I want to start a new business venture and I see the potential to reach 1,000, but he'll agree to letting me start that, but he'll only let me do it till the point of 100. Because I have to prove till 100 and then he'll open the door more for 200. And then only let me go. But I'll be frustrated that I could have easily got 2,000. So I think there's a balance where we do it and it's fine. That's where wisdom comes in. Experience comes in, that I think all his decisions are around, what if this goes wrong? What if the worst happens? He's always talking about that. I'm like the eternal optimist in our organization.
Sounds like a great team.
So once you're able to collaborate like that, then sky's the limit.
So he's teaching you to pace yourself, basically.
He's teaching me almost everything.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Almost everything.
And last question, Nirvana, how are you like your dad?
You always say that you either lead, follow, or get out of the way, right? And I've tried to carve out my own individuality. But in not only in our within our family, but even in our country, and to some extent, you know, in the region as well, he's done a phenomenal work to reaching where he is. Not only in business, but now he wants to transform the country. So someone with such personality, I get to learn so much from what it is. But at the end of the day, I learn a lot. So out of 100 things, probably I'll pick up 99, but there'll be one or two things which I will do it my way, which I think that is because of how he was running the management style 40 years ago and what needs to be done today. I think there's a management style difference, but the end goal is the same.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And Binod, any last words about the legacy you want to leave your sons?
No, I'm extremely happy. Mm-hmm. It has not been an easy process, you know. When one has to, probably for those who are interested to understand how we are handling the issue of perpetuity, because I'm repeating this word for the second time. Mm. We're just passing it on is not important. It has to go way beyond the second generation, third generation, and beyond, which means you are building an enterprise which should last for perpetuity. How do you do that? Everybody is not blessed with the same skills. Everybody may like to check the group forward, but may not have the ability to do so. And they don't like that to be told. Okay, so how do you do that? So you have to give freedom where it is needed. You got to put structures whereby the benefits of being in a joint family, they are not sacrificed. The entrepreneurial strengths of a family are not given up, and yet the process is carried out in a structured, professional manner. And that's a very difficult thing to recast, but you can do it. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the essence of running a successful family on the family side as well as on the business side lies.
Fantastic. Well, some words to live by. Thank you very much to Binod and to Nirvana.
That's it for yet another episode of Crazy Smart Asia. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to follow us wherever you're listening to this. Crazy Smart Asia is produced by Josie Kota and edited, mixed, and mastered by Ben Beheshti. Genty's digital editor is Valerie Lim. Crazy Smart Asia is hosted by me, Chong Xiaowei. In the meantime, do remember,
you always say that you either lead, follow, or get out of the way.
See you next week.
Hold up. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.